Yeah.
I got faked out for a second. I got faked out. I'm sorry.
And like, even though I know exactly how it's all going to play out, even to this day, even yesterday, I was still like, oh, it still like grips me right here in my cold, dead heart.
Doesn't it? Now passing everybody who views them from their various places of work and business and whatever, and they all follow him. He's leading them kind of, he's going to lead them all out, right? But he turns his horse around right in front of a sign that says, good luck, Sanford.
Yeah.
Which I thought was delightful. Okay, so now my notes are just lists of people who get taken out in order.
Angel comes through. He's coming into the town. It's all the people at the NWA that would pretty much just wanted him killed. And then Danny's also there in the cop car. And Angel's just there with all of these guns. And he like lets the horse go through because he doesn't need a dead horse, because that would be bad.
Yeah. And here's the thing, applauders. We're in charge of beating the dead horse. Yeah.
That's great.
It really wasn't, but thank you.
And then, like, there's all of this tension. Everybody's looking at him, and they're like, what is he going to do? Because he's, like, decked out with bullets and guns, and it is amazing.
Yes.
And what does he say? But my favorite line in the movie.
What?
Morning. And that's when everything goes loose. And it's,
yes. Okay.
I don't think I've mentioned it today because this is our second recording of this, because the first one, aliens were trying to get in touch with us.
Yeah. Yeah.
But like the character of Nicholas Angel is one of the sexiest fictional characters of all time.
Oh, you did mention it.
It's yeah.
But it's all right because he truly is.
Yeah.
Like unapologetic. It's hard to come across a character that has, like, unredeeming qualities. The problem is that he's too good. Mm-hmm. The problem is he's too dedicated. Mm-hmm. The problem is that he's too, like, genuine. That's not a problem for me.
No.
And, oh, now you're going to show me more physical prowess. That fence hopping scene was just a little taste of it, and now we're going to see it all go down. We're going to see him fence. We're going to see him wrestle. We're going to see him shoot. We're going to see him outmaneuver. We're going to see him parkour, for God's sake.
Right. Oh, and something that we didn't bring up, but when he was when he was coming towards the center of the town, he actually comes up across to the hoodies, and he says, want to do something useful? And they were like, yeah, because he's on his horse. He's looking super impressive. Mm-hmm. And
he hands them all spray paints, and they effectively... They take out all the cameras. They use the spray paint. So now the neighborhood watch doesn't have eyes on him.
Right. And at one point, someone says, Sergeant Angel's back. Check out his horse.
Yeah, because earlier it was check out his arse. Yeah. Yes.
So it's one of those things where he is, you know, shooting up all of these people. He like gets into the best position to block from people shooting at him, which is at the fountain.
Uh-huh.
Except for one person. It's the lady at the shop, where there's a line that says only once a cool kid in at one time.
Right. And she's up in her window above her shop shooting at him, and she's got the best advantage. And then like, doesn't he like do a signal to the kids that are like just across the street below her, where she can't see them under an awning?
Right. And every time you see the people going into the shop, you always hear the ding of them going through there. And now you hear a ding, 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 ding.
And you see her pulled from the window as she screams. So she's I'm going to check it off in my book. Window lady is the first one down.
Yeah. And then he goes ahead and he's taken out the guy with the big cloak, because he's important at this time, because he was hiding things under his cloak.
Oh, Mr. Treacher?
No, not Mr. Treacher. This is the guy who is... Oh, yeah, Mr. Treacher.
Yeah. Oh, I forgot.
But
he's not part of the council to me. I don't remember him being there. It doesn't matter. But okay, so he takes out Treacher, who did have guns under his long coat.
Mm-hmm.
Then he unhooks some beer barrels, and they roll over beer barrel guy.
That's what Mr. Treacher is. He's like in front of the beer barrels.
Oh, I thought beer barrel and Treacher were different.
Oh, maybe they are different.
I don't know.
Anyways, and then you get this lady who's always riding around on her bike
handgun. She's the matron of the school. She's the whatever the hell.
And so Dan, and she's like shooting at him, and like she actually hits Angel. And that's when Danny busts out his door and gets her. Danny's doing this because she hit Angel. If she had not actually hit him, then Danny wouldn't have gotten involved. That is my theory.
Okay.
That is the sequence that is happening. That is his reason for wanting to help out, not just because it's an awesome shootout.
Okay.
That's my headcanon.
Okay. I wrote down the next is obscure couple, but like, is it Joyce and her husband?
No, it's the actors. There's like a couple of actors that they bring up because yes. Martin Blower didn't want them in the, he's like, he made them extras when one's been a cadaver and one's been like a
yeah, they were in something yeah. and they're like, why did they get the lead roles when we have this actual talent?
Right.
Okay, so it's the actors.
Yeah, and the thing about Angel is he is not shooting to kill people. He is shooting to stop them in a non-fatal way.
Yes.
So he hits them in the shoulders, like their right arm shoulders, so they aren't going to be able to pick up guns and everything.
Yes, he effectively mm-hmm. immobilizes. Now we're like, right. we're like four people down now. And,
right.
and we've been going for like 2 minutes.
Right. And then you hear and the lady behind him saying, fascist.
Right. I call her crossword, but that's mm-hmm. Joyce.
That's Joyce. Uh-huh. And then he shoots a gun. At this point, before they take out these people, Danny joins in the fray and Danny is on Angel's side. And it's pretty bad.
It's pretty awesome. Yeah. So now they kind of split up, though, don't they?
Well, I mean, when she fires the gun, he shoots a planter above her head. And he says, do you know what he says after it hits her on the head?
Hag.
Yes.
Yes, he asked you. Yeah. That's a callback. That's what we do.
Right. And then her husband comes through and he starts hitting with the sword. He's actually right. awake.
Now there's sword play involved, which is Angel happens to be an expert in.
Mm-hmm.
So a sword play geriatric is what I called that.
Yeah. And then the pastor shows up and he says, stop this mindless violence. And he's trying to create a peaceful
resolution.
You
may not be a man of God, but I believe you to be a man of peace.
Yeah, and he's like, I know, he's talking about, like, I may not be a man of God, but I know the difference between right and wrong, and I have the good sense to call it out, I think is what he says.
I call that Reverend Jerkface.
Yeah, and then the Reverend says, oh, f*** off, grasshopper. Which, going back to Sean's notes.
Is it a Sean fact?
It's a Sean fact. Yeah, the TV show Kung Fu, there's a priest called Nick Grasshopper.
What happens is it's very short. He pulls out two guns from his frock or whatever you call it.
Yeah.
Danny just shoots him right in the shoulder so he can't do anything.
No, the guy shoots Angel point blank right into the chest. And that's when, and this is part of why I think that it's like Danny wouldn't have gotten in the fray if she had the lady on the bike earlier hadn't shot Angel, is because he goes ahead and like Danny instinctually shoots the guy, but he shoots him in the right shoulder, similar to how Angel does it.
He always copies Angel.
Yes.
Okay, so he gets shot and he goes, Jesus Christ! And he falls over, which is just hilarious. The delivery is perfect, even if I love Jesus and I'm sorry they said your name like that. And he runs over to Angel and he's just like, Angel, Angel, Angel!
Yeah, and he's got the bullets in his bulletproof chest because he never takes that off.
It's part of the uniform. It's standard.
Yeah. And then the doctor shows up and he makes a comment like, I brought you into this world, Danny. I can take you out.
I called this Dr. Douchebag.
Yeah. Call back to...
There's at least two episodes that we've Dr. Douchebagged our way through.
Yeah. First one is Earth Girls Are Easy.
There's also, is there a Dr. Douchebag in Pan's Labyrinth?
No, Doctor was good in that one. It was like after, let's see. Oh.
There's a Dr. Douchebag in Joe versus the Volcano.
Was there?
Yeah. And they're also
Dentist Douchebag? I was thinking the Little Shop of Horrors.
Why are doctors jerks?
Why do we always do movies where doctors are jerks?
I don't know. I don't know.
Anyways, so this guy is like, you know, has a gun to him and he's like telling Danny to lower his weapon. He's just like, okay. And he throws it.
And it goes off accidentally.
Yeah.
And it shoots him in the ankle for a second time.
And do you know what Angel says?
Oh, could you just tell me? Because you say it so good.
You're a doctor. Deal with it.
Yes.
Yeah. Danny asks Angel, so where to now? And Angel says, pub.
And which is a callback because I've said that at least twice before. Now we're back to the pub couple.
And there's a shootout in there. And they both like, do you remember how they get into the pub?
Don't they jump through the door sideways while shooting their guns in the air?
Yes! And then they get behind them.
I didn't know that until now. I remember it visually, but I hadn't said it in words. Oh, my God. And they go behind a side turntable or turn a table on its side.
And it's like, you know, the pub couple is like shooting at them and then going down. And then Danny and Angel are shooting at them and then going down. And like you, there's like sounds of an arcade
video game.
Yeah. And you see like at one point Angel like stand up and you hear that bloop from the video game. And then he goes back down. And it goes bloop.
Does it? That's so cute.
And then he like does this nice flourish, goes like a nice 360 turns around and shoots. shoots a bear trap over the guy and it lands on his head.
And she screams, "Somebody call the police!"
And that's when the riot gear gets used and everybody comes in.
Right.
And the chief says, you know, "Arrest that man." And he's like, "Denny, get over here with me." And Denny's just like, "No, Dad. I'm not going to, not anymore." And he's just like, "Officers, arrest these men." And Angel's like, "Whoa, you can arrest us, or you can ask yourself why the accident rate is so high, but the murder rate is so low in Sanford." And like, he starts like trying to convince them that something is off in this town and you have to go ahead and recognize that. And
yes,
then Walker eventually is like the oldest and he's just like, "Yeah, something is amiss in this town." And then everybody else kind of goes along with him.
Yes. The detectives aren't completely turned yet. That doesn't happen until summer's filled.
Yeah.
But I go, "Jigs up, chandelier shot, lion's roar." Okay, so the chief shoots the chandelier over Angel and Danny. It comes crashing down. And as it does, he goes, "Aah!" And he turns to leave. But as he's yelling, they play a lion's roar for no good reason. It is the Tarzan's yell of Harold and Maude of this film. Right?
Yes.
Okay.
It's so non
sequitur noise doesn't make any bloody sense. There's no reason for it.
Yeah.
Oh! Good God.
Yeah. And so they do go to Summerfield where
I write, "Oh, right. He is a supervillain." That's where my red herring falls out. And I was like, duh. Can't believe I kept trying to excuse him this entire time.
And the entire squad goes to Summerfield and Angel's just like, "Okay, what do we do?" And Fisher is the guy who's always saying, asking Angel what they should do. Mm-hmm. And now it comes around where Fisher has an idea and he just like jumps right into it. He's just like, "We should just go ahead and barrel in right at the beginning.
Right through the front door. They won't expect it."
Right. We'll catch him off guard. And Angel's just like, "Yeah, what he said."
Yes.
And then Angel goes through the front and he's just like
immediately kicked out by Armstrong.
Yeah. And he's like, "Okay, you guys deal with the butcher guys and I'm going to deal with the trolley boy." And they're like, "Oh." And then they see Armstrong pull him back in.
"Yeah, that's a good plan. We should deal with the butcher guys." Yeah.
And so Angel is fighting Armstrong. Uh-huh. And it's one of those scenes where it cuts between the other officers going ahead and dealing with the butcher guys, who is just the guys. And they got a load of cutlery.
Yes. And apparently a bulletproof butcher's case.
Apparently.
I mean, bullets go through a lot of stuff, guys. Like, the math isn't good in a lot of movies about it.
Maybe Skinner was probably planning ahead.
Oh.
I mean, think about
it.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay. I just did say he was a supervillain.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm with you on that.
Yeah. And then at one point.
Are you going to talk about the Andes right now?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Go for it.
Okay. So they're coming down the end of an aisle and there's an end cap. Hashtag, I know, grocer workers, right? There's an end cap, the end of an aisle that has a display of spaghetti sauce, a bolognese sauce. And so one Andy gets close to it. It blows up. It splatters all over his face. He's like, "Ah!" And the other Andy has a very Danny reaction to his partner being injured. And he's like, "Ah!" And he flips around the corner really quick and he like sprays the butcher case with bullets. And the other Andy's like, "It's all right. It's just bolognese."
It's so good.
It really is good.
And Angel is fighting Michael Armstrong and then they like tussle and he like Armstrong eventually gets into a freezer.
Yeah, he gets into the freezer. But imagine the fight is it's all Andre the Giant and Dread Pirate Roberts in Princess Bride.
Oh, yeah.
Isn't that what it was? When it first started happening, I was like, I don't remember him getting choked out. But that makes a lot of sense in a way to take down somebody really big. But then he throws him over a partition and then he jumps on him again and then he ends up in the freezer.
Yeah.
He's effectively on ice.
Mm-hmm. But an Angel like comes back and joins the rest of him and he says, the Armstrong's in the freezer. And Danny says, "Oh, did you tell him to cool off?" And he said,
"No, but you missed a bit earlier when I distracted him with the monkey. And I told him playtime's over."
And Danny's response is, "You're off the f-ing chain."
I want us to light each other up like that. You're off the f-ing chain.
Yeah. Does that mean that we get hype men?
We are each other's hype man.
Okay. We're going to have to hype each other up.
Hype.
Okay.
Okay. So they're now joining. They've reloaded. That's when they had that exchange.
Right.
They're going to join the other detectives and police officers. They're fighting these butcher guys. They're like, "What are we supposed to do? How are we going to do this?" Right?
Yeah.
They get this brilliant idea to make a battering ram out of trolleys. Is that what they call them in Britain?
Shopping carts. Yeah,
I think they call them trolleys or something. Anyways, they ram the butcher's case, smashing the two guys, and then they're all like, "Okay, I guess we just have like one or two guys left to deal with, right?" When the girl, laissez-faire girl, comes around the corner with a
box cutter,
and
she is like, "Ah!"
And Doris takes a wet floor sign and just smacks her. And
the lady goes flying.
Yeah, and she's Doris, unconscious.
Doris says one of the greatest lines.
She never could resist a little bit of the girl on girl.
They're like, ah.
Everybody laughs so hard because she's great.
Yeah. And so then the last of the grocers are like throwing food at them, and Angel and Danny book it up to the manager's office because they're like, we're going to take the boss out. When they get up there, they see Skinner making a break for it, mm-hmm. going into a police car. And so they're like, okay, we got to go after him. How do we get down? And then they just jump.
He goes, Kip? Because that's what you call a dumpster.
Oh.
So he jumps into the dumpster. And like, who doesn't want to jump into a dumpster in an action film? Mm-hmm. Like, Danny's like, yes! Mm-hmm. And he jumps up out of the garbage and he's just like,
yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so they make a break for it. They're chasing after the chief. And so the
chief and Skinner are in one car.
Yeah.
Danny and Angel are in the other car. I can never remember which side people get in the car, which is driving because it's British.
The Buttermans are on the left side of the car because they're driving.
Okay.
The Buttermans are driving. The chief is driving the first. Danny's driving the second. Skinner is in the passenger side in the first car. And Angel is in the passenger side Brilliant. In the second one. And they're like firing their guns. And they're firing the guns while in a shootout. And Danny goes, bang, 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 bang.
Okay, so the first car comes upon the swan, yeah. Elvis, right?
Swan!
So the first guys swerve and go off and bang up a makeshift ramp and into the model village.
Their car goes over this kid who's just like, ah!
Yeah, and then our guys, they pull up to the swan and like skid to the side and they collect the swan. Yes. Right? And then they drive over to the model village.
Right. And they get out of the car. Skinner's like getting out of the car too. And he grabs the kid and he's just like, stop it. And he calls him a ginger nut. And
the ginger nut's going to get it.
And then the kid bites Skinner's hand. And I'm like, yes. Go, kid.
Yes. And because you see on his face that the greater good, but like the greater justice mm-hmm. of Angel is like, I have to save the kid. That's priority. Mm-hmm. But then the kid bites him and he's like, yeah. Gingers unite. And like, now it's game on. And they, what I call Godzilla style, fight each other through the entire village.
This is such an homage to every kind of action film. Every kind of one. You got the buddy cop movie. You got the action horror movie. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. You got Godzilla.
Yep.
You got car chases.
Yes.
So great. And then eventually... Okay.
Skinner's got him down on the ground in mm-hmm. the garden after they land on a do not step on the grass sign. Yeah. And he's like pounding him in the face, mm-hmm. right? But then Angel grabs his hand.
Do you know what he says when he pounds Angel in the face?
No.
He says, get out of my town. And then when Angel grabs his hand, he says, it's not your village anymore. And he throws him off and he hits him real hard.
Yeah.
And then it looks like Skinner's out and Angel's just like, hey, kid, that was really good.
What's your name?
Aaron A. Aronson.
Which is a reference to earlier because he's like, what are you going to go through the entire notebook and interview everyone starting with A.A. Anderson?
Yeah.
Which is a detective earlier. Yeah. It doesn't matter. There's so much to quote from this film.
Seriously.
So, all of a sudden you hear a rageful screaming.
And it's Skinner coming back up. He's got a box cutter and he's booking it towards Angel. And Angel's like, I got to protect this kid. But
so, yeah, but that's the priority again. So yeah. He's backing the kid behind him while this guy is aggressing.
And Skinner like lands his foot onto a Summerfield car.
Yeah, little miniature from the village, the Summerfield on it. He slams his foot on it and he goes flying.
And do you know what his mouth gets skewered with?
Would that be some kind of spire?
Like on top of like a church?
Maybe like a miniature church. Like just where he like gets his chin over it because he was flying through the air.
Yeah.
And then he like, he doesn't die.
No.
He just starts like, it hurts so bad.
I think I need some ice cream. It's so great.
There is so much ice cream in this movie.
It really is. Okay, so yeah. Wait, now we got to get Danny back.
So Danny's helping his dad because it's his dad. But then the chief turns on his son and he holds him hostage. And then Angel's just like, seriously, Frank, he's just like had it. He's just done. He's like, you know, he's like, oh, go ahead and I'll take him out. And, you know, he can't do it, which is interesting. It's an interesting parallel to when Nick couldn't go ahead, when he held Danny hostage.
Oh, he couldn't kill him either.
And he couldn't kill him either. And then Frank kind of like pushes him down and he goes running for their car and he gets in their car.
Danny falls to the side and he holds his gun out like he's going to shoot him.
Yeah.
And he's like, his dad, he just, if he shoots him, it'll be fine, but he can't do it. So he just shoots his gun whilst in the air and goes, ah!
So great.
Yeah. But his dad drives away in the car, mm-hmm. and they stand up together, and they're kind of commiserating. They're like, you know what? We did pretty good, I think. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter. Because here's the thing. What happened was they collected the swan. It's in the car. So the guy's like driving away, and all of a sudden the swan's like, swan? You see him driving through this field, and then the car starts swerving, and then it hits a tree. Like the, like only, the only tree. The only tree.
What did you say yesterday when we watched it? It was Swan Ex Machina.
No, Jen said Swan Ex Machina.
Oh, thank you. That was so great.
Yeah, brilliant. Brilliant. Perfect. Exactly right.
Yes.
All right, let's make things get weird.
And at the end of everything, what do they have to do?
Well, no, they're at the precinct.
Yeah, they're at the precinct. They got, like, they've just had this huge, oh wait a minute.
What's his, what?
But before they leave the village, you see his old bosses show up.
Yes, Martin Freeman's there, Slarty Bartfast, and character actor number 5 from the
Steve
English...
Coogan.
Sorry, Steve. You're great. It's just Martin Freeman and Slarty Bartfast is there. Anyways, they're like, we've been calling you. It turns out, after you left, our numbers got a little bit squidgy.
Really like the word squidgy.
I love the word squidgy, and Martin Freeman says it, and now I want it to be my text tone.
Yeah.
Squidgy. Yeah.
So, interestingly enough, Angel looks back at the village and then he looks at Danny and he just says, I kind of like it here.
End of story.
Which is a callback to when Angel was first told that he had to leave and he was like, but I like it here.
Yes, and now it's his home.
Yeah, now he's, well, it was back at the precinct when at the very beginning of the movie, and at the very end, he's like, no, but I like it here, so I'm going to stay here.
Yes, okay. But what I thought you were going to say, because I totally forgot that part, because how did Martin Freeman fall out of my head? But that doesn't really matter. Now they're back at the precinct. Now they've had all this action, and mm-hmm. earlier, when asked about certain types of action movie stuff, Angel was like, though, that sounds like that would accrue quite a bit of paperwork.
Right.
So now that they've had this big action sequence, they've accrued quite a bit of paperwork. And now everyone's around a table with a stack of papers and some pens and some...
And so it's like they're going to be here all night. And someone has said it's going to take a lot of manpower. And Danny comes up and says, you know, official vocab guidelines say that, you know, we're supposed to say staff instead of manpower because manpower, it's a bit sexist.
And he gestures at Doris. Yeah. And she's like, oh!
And... Angel,
you know, Angel says,
you don't mind a bit of manpower, do you, Doris? And she's like, oh, dirty bastard. And he gets a metal trash can thrown at his head.
You cheeky bastard.
Oh, it's so great. And but then
the guy we forgot when we did the first tour.
Forgot about everybody else seemed to forget about him too.
We forgot about the
NWA
liaison who has a room at the... We forgot about him like twice. And now we forgot about him again because he walks into the precinct with like a gun and they're like, oh shit. And he takes a shot at Angel and Danny dives in the way and takes it.
This is the third time someone has been so close to shooting Angel that Danny couldn't prevent the first two times. He can prevent this one and he just barrels right forward and just takes that bullet.
Right. And then what knocks him back? What knocks the guy back? Is it? Oh. It's not the recoil. Does he trip over something?
I think it might have been the recoil.
Okay, so regardless, this guy goes flailing back into the evidence locker.
No, it's when he shoots him.
He kicks the trash can.
Angel kicks the trash can, yes! Hits him in the head, goes into the evidence room.
He falls backwards. He hits the wall. He knocks the only thing that's left in the office, which
C-mine.
Is the C-mine, which... clicks to the side, and this thing weighs hundreds, if not 1,000 pounds, right? It clicks to the side over his ankle. This guy is not going to get out from here without some serious manpower, right? But as it clicks over, the legs that are retractable goes into the sea mine, and then it starts clicking and whirling mm-hmm. like it did when they thought it was going to go off. But chica, it was not deactivated, and everybody starts running from the building.
Except, well, Angel, like, goes to the evidence room, and that's when the explosion goes off, and you see him, like, kind of curl up and everything.
Oh, man.
Yeah, everybody else is leaving, but yeah.
The entire building explodes before they get out of it. Everybody's splayed around the debris at the mm-hmm. end, and you see Angel run over to Danny, who is now, like, himself, earlier when he mm-hmm. had his bulletproof vest on, and he's unconscious, and he's like, stay with me. And there's blood on his shirt, and that's not acceptable. So I start having a panic attack because I can't remember things I've watched from 2007. And so then there's all this rubble debris, and then it cuts away, and then it says 1 year later.
And Angel's getting some flowers.
walking across a field in a churchyard.
And he comes up to a grave that says Butterman on it.
And he goes, you think this will be all right?
Danny says, yeah.
I'm like, you motherfuckers! Sorry, you're going to have to edit that, Jen. But like, oh,
yeah,
I got faked out for a second. I got faked out. I'm sorry.
And like, even though I know exactly how it's all going to play out, even to this day, even yesterday, I was still like, oh, it still like grips me right here in my cold, dead heart.
Doesn't it do it to us all?
Seriously.
So they're flowers for Danny Butterman's mom.
Mm-hmm. And they go into the car and this movie ends in probably the best way that it can.
Impossible.
They're going to deal with some minor offenses for people who are doing some minor things that ultimately aren't going to like delay the world.
Hippies are messing around with the recycle bins at the shopping mart.
Yeah, that's right.
And they're like, we're on it.
Yeah.
And they light it up.
Mm-hmm.
They here's the thing, they flip a around the fountain and peel out of there, and I'm like, that's not 30 kilometers per hour, guys.
Yeah,
I call bullshit on that.
Mm-hmm.
But that's a good end to the movie.
Yeah,
the launch into the theme song, which I'm never gonna listen to again.
Mm-hmm.
But it's like Hot Fuzz, something rappy do and rock and roll, Hot Fuzz, and it's just roll credits.
Yeah, and that's pretty much it.
That was Hot Fuzz.
That was Hot Fuzz, guys.
And I honestly enjoyed it.
Yeah.
But we gotta launch into, I mean, we gotta wrap it up like we do, applauders. We gotta talk about what has us shocked, what had us clapping our hands.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, who feels strongly?
But before we go into it, a few more Sean facts.
Sean facts? I love Sean facts.
Sean facts.
Sean facts.
Simon Pegg and Nick Frost voiced two police officers in The Adventures of Tintin, who is a movie, The Adventures of Tintin.
Wasn't that directed by Edgar Wright?
Written by Edgar Wright. Yeah, but both of them complain about the amount of paperwork that's involved.
Nice.
Another fact.
A Sean fact?
Another Sean fact.
Awesome.
Is both Simon Pegg and Edgar Wright mothers are the judges committee at the end of the film.
The judge committee is Simon Pegg's mom, Nick Frost's mom, but the guy in the middle between them,
uh-huh.
Edgar Wright.
That's Edgar Wright?
Yeah.
Really?
Yes.
I'm not sure.
That's what IMDb said.
Oh, okay.
It could be wrong.
Right. Okay. Anyways.
That's a Sean fact.
Sean fact.
With a Nomi augmentation. Yeah.
Okay, so Naomi, what would you say your most shocked moment in this movie was?
Okay, this is a very selfish one, because I've talked about the race car before, and I just think that there are no black people in England. That's not true. I don't think that, but...
It's a nice joke.
It's a bad joke. It's a debatable point. I'm sure that there's better examples of representation, and I hate to, like, go over that every time, nitpicking every movie, because whatever. These are just all the people Simon Pegg know.
Yeah.
Which is not a lot of brown people, apparently. So I've picked something else. Even though I seem to get on that soapbox a lot, and I'm sorry. But my shocked moment was, even when I was planning out what to say to you guys, as much as I do, and as we've tried to do this twice, I was like, you know what? I enjoy this film, but I have not recommended it to anyone ever. And the reason is because I can't describe it to somebody well enough that it would convince them to watch it, because it's too complicated.
Mm-hmm.
It's not to say it's not enjoyable. It's not to say anything I can't be like, oh yeah, it's a buddy cop film. No, it's a spoof of the action genre.
Mm-hmm.
No, wait, it's is that a shocked enough thing? I can't tell you why you need to watch it. You just need to watch it.
Right. I think that's a very valid point. My point is that there could have been a lot more diversity.
Really? You went where I normally go?
I'm just going to go straight to it. I do not mind getting up on that soapbox.
Okay.
Sorry.
I always sound like a coward, but I'm all right.
But it's like, you know, like there's only one woman in the police force.
And they cut the other female lead that would have been in there.
But here's the thing. Like a lot of the other characters,
they
could have very easily made one of the Andys a woman. I'm just going to say this. They could have made one of the Andys a woman. They could have like diversified. And I think it is just kind of, you know, the creators of the film asking a bunch of their friends, and a lot of their friends are probably white. I mean, I don't have a lot of diversity on my end. So with my own personal like circle of friends, I don't have a lot of diversity.
Well, a lot of it has to do with proximity.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that since even 2007, Hollywood and then / English Hollywood
mm-hmm.
has become a lot more diversified. So to say that we haven't come from there, like, would be a fallacy. But mm-hmm. but in this moment, I can see how, like, especially with the freaking women's lib stuff. Like,
yeah.
I mean, Kate Blanchett, their biggest female star, had a mask on the entire time.
Yeah.
Was it because she would have stolen the show? Maybe.
Maybe.
But, and maybe it was just for the joke of it.
Or maybe it was because she wasn't supposed to be that big of a character anyways. Like in Of Mice and Men, you don't ever know the name of the only female in that book because it can kind of detract from, you might end up sympathizing with her. Yeah.
Why can't I sympathize with women? I do it all the time.
It's still like, because you're not supposed to sympathize with her, you're supposed to sympathize with the man who kills her.
Oh.
Have you ever read Of Mice and Men?
No.
Oh, okay. So I'm just generalizations there. Like, it was the kind of book that made me want to, like, I literally threw it across the room after I read it. I was so angry with it. I mean,
should I pick it up or is that a reason to not pick it up?
Read the Cliff Notes. Find some YouTube.
Is there, like, a movie?
There is a YouTube channel called Overly Sarcastic Productions. They are great. They go over some very important, like, literary classics, or at least ones in Western mythology.
Wait, what did you call it again?
Overly Sarcastic Productions. They're all animated. And it's wonderful, and they do Of Mice and Men, and it's like they, but they're very respectful of everything that they do, even if they have issues with some of the material in it.
Oh, like so, us?
Yeah.
God bless.
Yeah.
Okay.
So yeah, I mean,
they needed more chicks. They needed more melanin.
Yeah.
Is that how you're feeling about it?
Pretty much, yeah. But I mean, I found it really hard to, like, find any real fault with it.
It's a great movie.
It is.
And they handled when they do touch up on a subject like Doris, they handled it extremely well.
Yeah, because I think that is the best way they could have. And the fact that they have Olivia Colman in there, they still have a lot of women in there. Mm-hmm. Women who aren't just, you know, necessarily like villains. You have, like, you know, some gray areas with, like,
great people. Joyce is a great area.
Janine is very much like that because, like, you can understand why she, you know, just could not handle Angel at all as a romantic interest. You know, Doris is just, like, unapologetically, like, knows her sexuality and owns it.
Yeah.
And she isn't demonized for it. That's wonderful.
Yes.
And there are women who are actual villains, but they're villains because they're part of the other villains in the story and how the story is made up. So it's really hard to, like, find anything wrong with it. And at this point, if you're thinking it's a nitpick, it probably is, because this movie is, like, 99% perfect.
Yeah. Jen, how about you?
Well, it doesn't pass the Bechdel-Myers. I think we've discussed that, probably hit that on the head.
Yeah. No two women were in the same room without a man discussing a thing that was not a man.
Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's the test, right? Yeah, we didn't have that. But let's go on happier things.
Yes.
Again, mine's stupid and simple because I enjoy the film and I had enough trouble telling the plot to, like, come up with anything super deep. My original point was, this movie has the rewatch value that has not been seen since, like, Monty Python. Mm-hmm. You can rewatch this 1,000 times. There's a bunch of callbacks. There's a bunch of cameos. There's a bunch of all these things that you go through, right? And as we were talking through this last time, I was like, oh, you know, that's great. But is it the thing I applaud the hardest? And then I ended up going through and crossing through that. And all I want is hype men all the time. People were like, yeah, you, that thing, yes, yes.
You need a Danny Butterman in your life?
Yeah, I am the Danny Butterman of my life. I just want to be more. I want to hype all of the people I love. I want to get behind you. I want to scream at the top of my lungs how good you're f***ing doing.
Mm-hmm.
You're off the chain.
You're off the chain. Did you say something cool like, he's on ice? And you're like, no, that's a shame. That's a shame. But you missed this part where I was like, playtime's over.
Mm-hmm.
He's like, you are off the chain. Yes, hype man, hype man, hype. Okay, that's what I like most.
For me, and this is just an opinion, I don't know how controversial it will be for some people, but this kind of shows, like, what fascism is and isn't, at least as far as I'm concerned. I'm not, like, a political science major, so maybe I'm just, like, completely wrong about it, but it's very easy to peg Simon Pegg's character, Nicholas Angel, as, like, you know, just like this.
A cog in the machine of fascism.
Or just, like, you know, everything has to be done in a very particular way, and it has to be my way or the highway. But that's kind of how he's played up at the beginning. He's very much like a by the book kind of character.
Yeah, yeah.
And what you find out at the very end of this movie is the fact that everybody who is actually a tyrant, they are literally killing productive members of society because of minor infractions. I'm going to quote a YouTuber by the name of Mikey Newman. He does a series called Movies with Mikey where he talks about this film.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's
this one specifically.
Yeah.
Bless.
This one specifically. And He does all of the Cornetto trilogy. All of his stuff is good. But this is how he would describe the movie to another person.
He's solving my shocked.
Yeah.
God bless it, Mikey. Thanks.
So when a trusted public servant provably murdered unarmed people on the regular, it might imply a deeper systematic issue, especially when the people perpetrating the crimes are routinely protected by the people that claim to be committing these actions for everyone's benefit, the greater good, then justifying why the people they killed were guilty on paper for some imagined or manufactured reason.
Woof.
It's a lot to take in.
Yeah.
You kind of have to read that a few more times. But
it's okay. They got a rewind 30-second button on their phone.
Yeah. It's like Angel shows so much self-control that he's also part of the reason why I find him so attractive.
Oh, yeah. There's something about restraint.
But the NWA kill without a second thought.
Because nothing went deeper than that the person offended them.
Mm-hmm. And it was in such a superficial way. Like, here's a question. What happens if they don't win Villager of the Year award? Does the world come to an end? Meanwhile, they are killing productive members or potentially productive members of society because of some minor infraction that they see. But it's so minor in the grand scheme if you just step back and you get outside of Sanford.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, Mikey's video is very politically charged at the very end.
Mm-hmm.
And it's fun at the very beginning because he talks about all these great things.
Mm-hmm.
But like at the very end, it definitely does get politically charged.
But you still recommend maybe somebody going to check it out?
Oh yeah, definitely. Because it's so impactful. Like, here's a thought, and this is something that Mikey brings up in the video, is in 2007, Jim Broadbent's character says the phrase, "Make Sanford great again."
Creepy.
Does that not have political implications today?
Yeah, it does.
Over 10 years later. And it's just, it's a great video. I think everything that Mikey Newman does is great. It's very in-depth. He's very much like he loves film.
Mm-hmm.
And so he likes talking about it.
Yeah.
But he does like to bring up things that are impactful about it. And, you know, whether it's for good or bad. So.
Yeah. I mean, yeah. Give anytime that you can gain a perspective, you know, that provides you an opportunity for growth,
mm-hmm.
or at least a change of perception.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's beautiful. Jen, did you have a shocked or applaud? Did I ask you about your shocked?
Yeah. I just did the Bechdel-Myers.
Oh, okay. What, do you have an applaud?
I really like all of the payoffs. They did a lot of setup in the beginning of the movie that they continued to pay off all the way through the end.
Yeah.
They didn't just offhanded reference Bad Boys 2 and Point Break. They actually, you know, kind of mixed in the scenes and played with them. And the little Aaron Aronson kid who was referenced.
So random.
Yeah. And how Angel's police captain said he could make people disappear if he wanted to. And then we find out that it's the police captain that's making people disappear, you know. Just little things.
Yeah.
The way that they would just kind of throw it up in the air and be able to hit it later.
Yes. How, especially like, and there's character growth that happens like that too. How Angel's eventually able to make a sexist joke because mm-hmm. it is common practice. And
it doesn't seem like it's something that she would be, she's not offended by it. She's just like, oh, dirty bastard at the very end.
Yes, but that's because it's the kind of thing that she thinks, she really does think it's funny now that he knows her character. But now that we know Danny's character, the fact that he's reading the vocabulary and he's continuing to evolve and become a better cop because access to knowledge and being told where to look for that knowledge, character growth, I love it.
Yeah.
So they called back all these jokes, but they also showed all this development in a very subtle way that doesn't beat you over the head socially.
Yeah. It could have gotten really preachy, and it didn't. It stayed fun throughout the entire thing.
Yeah. We're here to get preachy.
Yeah.
We're not here to be funny, guys. I think that's pretty obvious. Do you have any more Sean facts for us that we need? No, you went through them all.
Well, I didn't go through all of them, but there were a lot of his Sean facts were, you know, just the amount of cameos that took place.
Uh-huh.
And the references to like The Good, the Bad, the Ugly, and another show that was in the notes that I can't really remember off the top of my head.
You know, guy applauders, if it would please you for us to publish the Sean notes on our website for you, or maybe not even our website, but our Facebooks or whatever. That could be a lot of fun for some of y'all. So,
you know what's an interesting Sean fact?
A Sean fact, you say?
Yeah. This, when Nick checks into the hotel, check in, but you've always been here. The reason why it reminds you of The Shining is because he noted that it was in The Shining. So there you go.
That's only my favorite movie of all time. Well, one of my favorite movies of all time. Okay.
Yeah.
Okay, guys. Applauders, you've been on this ride along for like weeks now. And we're so thankful for you joining us. Like, you've been our sidekick, our deputy. You've been our partner.
Partner, yeah.
Our partner in crime. But we're on the good side. We're on the opposite of crime. There should be an opposite of wrong bad. And that's
bad wrong?
Goodong.
Goodnadab.
Goodnadab. That's the way. I keep trying to high five Lydia and everything's virus. Goodnadab. Oh, could you imagine doing Kung Pao?
Oh my goodness.
I don't know.
I don't know.
I don't know. Okay.
I don't know.
Children. Nope. Y'all are grown. If you're a child listening to this, that'd be fun. But I hope you're listening to the bleeped version. Applauders, thanks for joining us for this harrowing ride along through that hot fuzz. And we hope that you come along next time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We want you to know that you're all incredibly good looking, that you all have a certain kind of energy about you mm-hmm. that you can wield mightily.
Yeah.
As long as you know what you're talking about and you know your abilities in a situation, you can own it.
There's always something going on. Sometimes that thing is you.
That's right. And if you see an opportunity to hype somebody up like my fantastic co-hosts, you guys are being awesome. You're doing a good job. You are off the chain, as are you, Applauders.
Yeah. Thank you for joining us today. And we will see you next time for whatever movie we decide to do. Here's Jen with our socials and
a little closing statement.
Closing statement. You know what? Support us on Patreon. Because we are an ad-free podcast. We only advertise ourselves. And the movies that we do.
Yeah. Or follow us on Facebook and post something that has to do with an episode you like. That'd be great, too.
Yeah.
Let us know if you want to hear Sean, if you want Sean's notes posted so you can read them in their entirety. Because they are more complicated than we were able to get all out in the podcast today.
Yeah.
And always, thank you for joining us.
Our 13th episode has completed, and it's ready for our evidence room, Applauder. As Naomi said, thank you for riding along with us through all four parts of our review of 2007's Hot Fuzz. Hey, this is your audio engineer and detective of unbearable silences, Jen, congratulating you again for your continued support and listenership. Have you stumbled upon one of our month-long episodes but haven't yet subscribed or followed us on a network? Following us using Apple or Google Podcasts, Stitcher, or Spotify are great ways to ensure you never miss the next part of an episode. Visit shockedandapplaud.com for a full list of channels you can find us on. We've also become more active on Twitter recently using the @shockedapplaud tag, where you can find us recommending other film, comedy, retro, and sci-fi content from other podcast creators. Why not take a moment when you have some time to see who we're following? We won't have an end-of-the-month break like we normally do, so we'll be back June 2nd with a brand new month-long review. From Shocked and Applaud, thank you for patroning the peculiar.
Yay! Yay!